The Society of Jesus, founded in 1540 by Spaniard Saint Ignatius of Loyola and his companions, is the largest men's religious congregation in the Catholic Church, with almost 17,000 Jesuit priests and brothers working in some 112 nations across the globe. Jesuits have been engaged in ministries as diverse as spiritual direction, education, the care of refugees, outreach to the homeless, theological, philosophical, and academic inquiry. With its worldwide headquarters here in Rome, Jesuit communities and apostolic works are organized into provinces, which belong to one of the 10 assistances around the world. One such province, the Near East Province, based in Beirut, Lebanon, comprises the Jesuit missions in the eastern and southern rim of the Mediterranean Sea, involving 106 Jesuits from 15 different nations. One among them is Indian Jesuit priest Father Bimal Karaketa of Ranchi Province, who has been working in Egypt since 2002. In an interview with him, we came to know a lot about the work of the Jesuits in the predominantly Muslim nation. Today, he begins the first part of this interview explaining the countries of the Near East Jesuit province.
This Near East province is a biblical province, I would say, because Turkey comes first, where you have all the history of St. Paul's letters, and then Lebanon, where you talk of Old Testament, you will find of all the Tree of Cedars and Lebanon in the Old Testament more than 75 times. Then third country is Syria, where you know all the history and of course St. Paul's conversion in Damascus and all. Then Egypt, which has again a history. And then Algeria and Morocco. So these six countries make Near East Jesuit
province.
All those
countries, one after the other, bordering the Mediterranean.
Yeah, Mediterranean.
Okay.
And then this is the Arabic-speaking province. So we do not have any other Jesuit province which has Arabic. This is the province which has first language Arabic.
In other words, those who come here must know Arabic, must learn Arabic.
Yes, that's a must.
When was it that you first came and joined this province, Father?
Of course, there was a project on behalf of our former Father General. It had started in 1999, but I landed in 2002.
Were you given the option to come here or you were asked to come?
In a way, we were asked because it was the first initiative of Near East province on behalf of Father General. And that time, society was talking of intra-international relationship. When the proposal came, Ranchi was asked in a way to have a semi-urban, semi-rural project there. And then two Jesuits came and then had a visit and looked into the possibilities. They went back to Ranchi, gave their feedback, and then it was given whether how to choose what to do. Actually, those who had come to visit, they themselves were asked to go, but they had other responsibilities, so they said, why don't you choose two? One who had managerial skill, then I had the fieldwork experience, how to approach people. But one had to go back and I had to continue because the moment we landed, there was a new provincial. And he said, forget about the project and then let us begin from zero. So we had to begin from zero. In that way, only I was left. And since then, I have been continuing. Yeah. My landing was in Egypt, in Cairo, which is capital of Egypt, where first language is Arabic. Second language for the religious and other people is French. Third language is English, but now for the last 10 years, English is catching up.
Now, have you been to these other countries of your province?
For an Indian, it's not easy to travel to other countries.
Visa problem.
Visa problem, always. And so I have been quite often to Lebanon, because that is our provincial house. Mm-hmm. I have been quite often to Syria before the war, civil war started. And actually, after giving my service for more than 10 years in Egypt, I was dreaming of going to Syria. I don't know, somehow that place had attracted me a lot. And I felt very at home and I felt that I could do something there. So that pains me when civil war has begun and it is getting worse. And our Jesuits are suffering a lot. And even the common innocent people are being killed. And it's very unfortunate. So that pains me a lot also.
Now, Father, you said that your original plan of starting a semi-rural, semi-urban project there got scrapped. Now, what was the option left for you to do there?
It was very difficult in the beginning, because much more when you are already a formed Jesuit, you are a priest and you are going to begin a work. And when you are in a new country, when that got scrapped, you know, you have to again begin from zero. It was like either you swim or sink. And that was not easy, because before landing, I had never heard of Arabic. And then it was fully Arabic speaking country. And then community was fully French speaking, which I didn't have any French knowledge also. And then to again begin from zero was a big challenge. But I had to take, because within a week we had to begin Arabic studies. So I had to get into Arabic, of course, a classical Arabic. There also I had a problem, because I didn't want to do Islamic studies. That place is for Islamic studies and Arabic studies run by Kumbonians. And it was again a big challenge for me, but I was able to get into that.
After learning the language, in what work are you engaged in actually? Any charity, or are you dealing with only schools or institutions?
After learning Arabic, because we Jesuits are, we have few schools and two NGO, social center, which has a vast project. So after completing my study, I said, let me go to a place where mostly people speak Arabic and let's see where I could fit in also. There itself, we have an Arabic medium co-ed school, which is 138 years old. We have a house and then our social center. So that gave me an ample opportunity to look into the work and to look into myself. So first I took just the middle school and I was there with the children. And then our social center, where we have almost 10 to 12 different projects. And that gave me an opening to get into the culture and work of the society with the people over there.
Could you talk about the social work engagements that you have there?
That is a bit similar to Indian context, I would say, wherever we have NGOs in India. But here, a bit, it is more developed. Here, the facilities are more and people have more opportunities. Because in Egypt, the price of petrol is less. There is 24-hour electricity. There is 24-hour water facility, even in the villages, even in the remote area. So when these three facilities are there, naturally, even in the rural area, the lifestyle becomes better and easier. You might be surprised that Egypt is the only country where people literally pray not to have rain. With the River Nile, they get water anywhere and everywhere through proper canals, from channelization. So if it rains, or when it rains, the streets get muddy. Or people who have their chicken and rabbits, goat, all on the top floor.
Domestic animals.
Domestic animals and whatever, because there is less place. So when it rains, again it smells. So you know why to have rain when you have already water. So it is like that. So the similar way there, where I was having social work with the people, I could see, I could visit the families. Of course, majority of them are Muslims. 90% are Muslims, 10% are Christians.
What are these projects? Could you describe? You said there, of course, standard of living is higher because of this infrastructure that you have there, irrigation, water, roads, maybe.
So how to make the project, because there are even among the rural areas, because of the cultural aspect, many women do not get an opportunity to have a literacy program. And so we had to get into the literacy program, Muslims and Christians together, awaken them. Then because of the close cousin marriages, there many are physically handicapped children, boys and girls. So we are involved in that from even 3-4 to the 18 to 20 years old youth. Then Egypt has, I think, after states, biggest number of embassies. So through those embassies, they get many good projects and they are distributed to the NGOs. Maybe in agricultural field, that how to make agriculture again more beneficial. Or even they have husbandry culture, again, how to make it more facilitative, more qualitative. they have a desert land. So how to make that desert land into a green desert policy and try to irrigate and all. So our social center is involved in all these areas. Even we try to give for the youth, again, a program that who are in the university studies, how they would have a special relationship with other European countries, an exchange program. And then again, choose a village and make an like an ideal village and let them have a sharing and or the come together with the youth and then join in the project. So there are such things which are run or conducted through our Jesuit Social Center.
That was the first of a two-part interview with Indian Jesuit priest Father Bimal Kerketta, who is working in Egypt. Tune in the same time next week for the final part of this interview. This has been The Backgrounder, a weekly feature of Vatican Radio's English Service for Asia.